All right, guys. What's up, campus? How y'all doing? Doing good? All right. I hope you guys are enjoying your retreat so far. We just came back from our lunch break, and we have some amazing lessons this morning. And this is our breakout session, so you get to choose the class you want to go to. And I'm flattered that you chose this class, that you would see me. Leslie's also flattered. No, I'm joking. My name is Ashton. I help lead the Brooklyn Campus Ministry, so it's Leslie. We're both campus ministers there. And we're part of Brooklyn Region New York City Church. And I don't know, I'm just excited about this class today. I'm excited to dig into the Word, learn about you guys and everything like that. Leslie's handing out some stuff to you guys. I think she's kind of passing it along the rows. And you're here because you want to grow, right? You're here because you want to grow. You want to grow in your relationship with God. And committed followers of Jesus, they grow. And, you know, I've personally felt stuck at certain points in my walk with God. Felt like I was coasting at certain points in my walk with God. And had those moments where I felt like, man, this is not sitting right with me. I have to move forward. I have to grow. I have to make progress. And as you've been seeing these pictures and you're looking, you know, there's a piece of paper right now that I want you guys to look at. Maybe some embarrassing photos of myself on there or Leslie. But I gave you guys these pieces of paper to illustrate a simple thing, a before and an after, right? The whole idea of someone being once immature and then now mature, the idea of progress and change and growth. And it seems obvious to have a before and after physically, right? It would be crazy if I looked the same as I did in the picture on the left and I'm 25 years old. That would be crazy to me. But why not have a before and after spiritually as well? Why can't we see that change spiritually? You know, our initial conversion from dark to light shouldn't be the only before and after that we experience as disciples of Jesus. We should be experiencing it consistently in our walks with God. You know, this should be happening often. Is there a before and after picture for your discipline, for your purity, for all of these different areas in your walk with God? You know, there should be progress, change, and growth in our spiritual lives. There should be a spiritual before and after. And our after photo should look more like Christ. It should look more and more like Christ. I want you guys to turn to 2 Corinthians 3. We're talking about being committed to personal growth. And 2 Corinthians 3 is the place I want us to start because I feel like it really helps us see where the power lies in us growing. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm actually going to be reading the NLT here. It says, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." You know, the Holy Spirit resides inside of every disciple of Jesus. And one of the major roles that it plays is making us more and more like Christ over time. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. You know, He leads us to be changed into that image. You know, God wants us, when we kind of look into that spiritual mirror in the morning, to not just reflect our natural selves. He wants us to look like Jesus. He wants us to look more and more like Jesus. And God is not just able to do that, but I believe that's what He's doing right now with the Holy Spirit. He's moving us more and more like Jesus. As we speak, He's trying to use this moment to help you be more and more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is trying to do that. And that's a lot of the work. You know, we're going to share a lot of practicals today, a lot of things you need to do to grow personally. You can do this, you can read this, all these different things. But ultimately, the power of that growth is really the Holy Spirit. God is the one who makes it grow. And a lot of the things that we have to do is just get out the way. Just get out the way. As God is trying to move us forward, a lot of listening to the Spirit, a lot of obeying and following God. You know, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. So saying no to our flesh and following the Spirit instead. That's a lot of the power of growth. You know, we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to grow because it's God's will. That's what He wants us to do. That's why the Holy Spirit is within us. So I want to start off our lesson with our first point, which is why grow? Why grow in the first place? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You guys with me?
Yes.
2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 3, and then we're going to skip around a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And skipping on to verse 5. It says, For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in this passage, we see Peter encourage the Christians with a few things. First, he tells them in verse 3 that God's power has given you everything you need to live a godly life. Through God's power, we have these things. Through our knowledge of God, it's within our grasp. In verse 5, he encourages us to make every effort then to, you know, add to our faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. And he keeps building. And pretty much what he's saying is make every effort to grow. Make every effort to grow. And in verses 8 to 11, he tells them why. He says, because if you grow, you will be effective. You'll be productive spiritually. You will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of our Lord. We will get to heaven. You know, if you let God lead you to progress, lead you towards growth, there's amazing benefits in our lives. You know, are you tired of feeling ineffective? Tired of feeling unproductive, like you're stumbling in your walk with God? Then we need to make every effort to possess these qualities in increasing measure. Make every effort to grow. You know, so why do we grow? We grow because we want to be with God. We grow because we want to make it to heaven. So that's why we grow. Because if we're not growing and becoming more like Jesus, it's very likely that we're just going to be doing the opposite. That we're starting to move backwards. And sometimes we might even feel like, okay, I'm coasting a little bit. I'm just staying in the same place. And there's really no such thing as that. Because if we're not possessing these qualities in increasing measure, if we're not growing, it says we're forgetting these things, and we're going to be like someone who's nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So if we're not growing, we're dying, guys. If we're not growing, we're dying. You know, is your life filled with inspiration, or are you just waiting for your date of expiration? How is your life? What is your life? Are you growing? You got to decide today that you're going to be motivated by the hope and encouragement that Peter gives us, that we can be productive and effective if we're fighting to grow, and we're going to be welcomed into heaven. And Leslie's going to share a little bit more about why we should grow.
Hi, guys. So, as Ashley said, it's natural to grow. That's just something that's a part of life. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the scripture in Matthew chapter 21, and you can turn there. It's a short passage, a little intense, but it just reminded me about growth and the expectation that God has. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 and 19, it says, Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, May you never bear fruit again. Immediately, the tree withered. So this is a really intense scripture, right? You see Jesus in this interaction with the tree. But if you think about it, it's a fig tree. That's what he expected. If you have a seed, you're expecting it to produce fruit. So when it doesn't, you know that something is wrong. You know, it's not fulfilling the expectation. Jesus is very serious about growth, and that's the expectation that he has. I even think of John chapter 15, verse 2, that says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You know, that God wants us to be fruitful, and he creates situations that we can continue to grow. And I think it's something that we can expect out of ourselves as well. Obviously, you're here. Obviously, you want to grow. And just thinking about the things that can even hold you back, you know, and you want to be able to fulfill that potential. And that God doesn't want you to stay the same. The way that you came out of the water, you don't want to be like that years and years later and you're still kind of an infant in Christ. No, chapter 5, in verse 12, you know, it says, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Even when you read this passage, this is addressed to Christians. They're not infants in Christ. You know, they've been around for a while. You know, so there's this expectation that, okay, you're mature in the faith. You should be at a certain point. But instead, they had to go back to the Christian basics, you know, that they hadn't grown. And I think for us, we want to be able to move on towards maturity, you know, and not relaying the same things that we learned, you know, a long time ago. I think about, even for me, thinking about growth, my brother, not a lot of people know this, but my brother actually has autism. So I grew up with him. We live in different states. But earlier on with my parents, they noticed that, you know, at certain ages you should be able to do something, you know, like to be able to walk and to be able to speak and different things like that. But for him, you know, you're getting towards 1 and 2 and there's no words developing. You're still kind of pointing at things. You're kind of grunting. Like, they could see that there was something wrong because they had the expectation that you should grow. You know, and I think it's the same way for us when we're looking at ourselves and it's like, okay, like, I'm at this point spiritually. You know, why don't I see growth? It's something that is, should be natural, that should be happening in our discipleship. But we want to have that expectation that we should grow. It's something that's natural. It's a part of life, and it should be a part of our discipleship as well. Amen?
Amen.
And also just the fact that we should grow because Jesus grew. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 52. It's a simple scripture, but I love it. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So Jesus not only grew, but he grew in different areas of his life. It says he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And I know for me, I read this scripture and I'm like, oh man, I feel convicted. Like, I don't know if you guys ever get to a point sometimes where it's like, I'm good. You know, like, I feel like, yeah, maybe I can grow a little bit in this and that. But no.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus is perfect. You know, if anybody didn't need to grow, it was Jesus. But he still had that part of his life that he was growing in different areas. For him, growing in his knowledge, or maybe in physical strength. I know I can grow that. You know, growing in his relationship with his father and growing in his relationship with others. And those are areas, if you're feeling like I can grow and you kind of need some direction, look to Jesus and his example. And you see him growing in different things. And I guarantee for at least one of these things, you can grow in. But I think we have to remember just the basics of discipleship, that we're trying to imitate Jesus, you know, that we're trying to be like him. So if he thought growing was important, it also has to be important to us. Amen?
Amen. You guys can clap for Leslie. She did a great job for sharing. So I want to move on to our second point. We talked about why we need to grow, things that should motivate us to grow. The fact that we want to get to heaven. You know, the idea that Jesus grew, so I want to grow just like Jesus, and the fact that growing is natural, as Leslie shared. And I want to really spend the second point identifying what stops us from growing. What stops us from growing? What are some things that get in the way? And I want to start off this point by talking about, I think one of the things that stops us from growing is a lack of purity. A lack of purity. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." You know, so when we talk about this lack of purity that could keep us from growing, that could entangle us and hinder us, I'm not just talking about sexual purity. That's one aspect of purity. But purity in general, sin in general, any impurity can really hold us back in our walk with God. And, you know, there's an overall spiritual purity that God expects us to maintain in our lives as disciples. You know, throughout the Bible, God speaks about being pure, being holy, and being blameless. And I see that call throughout the Bible. And thank God for Jesus for even giving us the opportunity to think that we could reach that level. Like, there's no way through my own works that I can be holy, pure, and blameless. But because of Jesus, I can do that. So when I read scriptures like Hebrews 12:14, it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow, that challenges me. It scares me, but I think, wow, because of Jesus, I can be righteous in God's sight. But at the same time, that doesn't give me an excuse or makes me feel like I don't have to take personal responsibility for my own sin, for the sin in my life, and from repenting from that sin. There's still a call for me to flee from sin and run towards righteousness. You know, and as I'm seeking to grow spiritually, there's an opponent, there's an obstacle, there's something that's trying to get in my way, and that's sin. Sin is trying to get in my way. You know, I think one way that sin tries to hinder us from growing is found in Hebrews 3. You guys could turn to Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 13. I think this is a prime example of how sin entangles and hinders our growth. Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 13. And it's a passage that some of you may be familiar with. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, our hearts can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I think this is one of the major ways that we're kept from growing. You know, God can and will forgive us when we sin. But how much longer could we go in some sort of habitual sin without it beginning to harden our hearts and really beginning to deceive us, making us feel like, wow, okay, this sin is better than the life that I have with God. This sin is something that's worth giving up a life of honoring God. We can begin to be deceived by sin. Sin can sap out this motivation to want to live for God if we're continuing in sin in our life. You know, it can sap out the joy, the faith that we have, all of these different things. Sin is so deceitful. And you know, when I think about the phrase, you know, when you play with fire, you get burned, right? But some burns can be fatal. And when it comes to sin, some of those burns that we're playing with, when we're playing with sin consistently, it can be fatal. It can take us out altogether spiritually. You know, I think about just this past year, you know, there's people who are close friends of mine who are no longer so close to me because they decided they weren't going to be close to God. And it really began to kind of cause this distance, and I saw where things were going, but I wasn't sure, wow, they would never give up on God. They would never give up on the church. That would never happen. But really what the common thread is with some of those people is that there was a lack of purity in their life, a lack of purity consistently, and it began to choke out the word in their life. You know, it stifled their spiritual growth. They got caught up in sin as if there was a web, and Satan devoured them. And we really need to pay attention to the sin in our life. So my encouragement to you guys is that if you can identify any habitual sin in your life, anything in your character that you feel like it just keeps coming up, and you realize that it's hindering you or entangling you, bring it before God. Mm-hmm. Bring it before a friend. Get it dealt with, because it's going to keep you from growing. It's going to hold you back. And we can't let anything master us outside of Jesus. Amen?
Right.
Leslie's going to share more about what stops us from growing.
Another thing that can really hold us back from growing is a lack of perseverance. And I think the best scripture that I can think of is James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. So you guys can take a look at that. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I feel like when I read the scripture, I have a love-hate relationship with this scripture.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it. I understand, okay, trials. I understand it talks about maturity and being complete, but I just want to get to that end result. I'm like, okay, skip the trials. Let me just get to the end point of all this.
Yeah.
And I don't like going through trials. I don't like suffering. It's not, who does? You know what I mean? But it's something that I think the scripture, especially verse 2, really challenges me on my perspective. You know, it says consider, you know, think of it as pure joy. And I think it's really hard. Like, it says, okay, this is a trial. How can I think of it as pure joy?
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because I feel like it's not so much that, oh, man, okay, I'm going through a trial and I like it. You know, welcoming growth, an opportunity to grow. I remember last year, it was really challenging for me because the living situation that I was in, it turned out to not be so great. And having a lot of persecution in my own house, and I had to leave in a matter of 2 weeks, find an apartment. And in New York, that is very, very hard to find an apartment in the price range that you want in a short amount of time. And it was a really hard trial. I didn't want to be in my house, and it was difficult and hard, and dealing with people who maybe just misinterpret or misunderstand the things that you do, or just for being a Christian. But I think God really taught me a lot through that trial. He taught me how to surrender to Him, how to trust Him and the fact that He has my back, and also how to be patient. I remember coming home with headaches every night, trying to find apartments and different things, and I hated it. You know, but God used that as an opportunity for me to be able to mature and to grow. You know, I remember there even being this one apartment that I want. I'm like, God, this is so perfect. And Him saying no. And I had to surrender the fact that it's a no. And this apartment was right across the street from Brooklyn College, one of the campuses we had. And I'm like, God, why not this? You know, but I think God was trying to teach me that you want my best. You know what I mean? And even just in a funny situation of just how to surrender and something like that. But I think sometimes for us, like, when we're not tested in our faith, that we don't get to learn how to persevere. You know, and I think this is the best way to do it. You know, it's like I want to persevere in any other situation. He's like, no, this is the situation that you're going to learn how to persevere. But I think about what are the things that, at least for me, make me not want to persevere. And I think a big thing for me is discouragement. And maybe it's the same way for you. I feel like if I don't see, like if there's an area that I want to grow in, let's say in my patience, but I don't see myself getting to the point that I want to be at with growing in my patience, or you know, things aren't going the way that I want, I easily get discouraged and say, oh man, I want to give up. It's like, this isn't going to happen. You know, or even, I think when we're trying to grow in something, sometimes we feel like we don't get the encouragement that we need from people or from God, you know? I think it could be easy to give up when we don't feel like we have a lot of support from those different things. But I think for me, I just remember the fact that God is always encouraging me, always helping me along the way, and the same for us. And just seeing it from God's point of view, that God is going to use good situations to allow you to grow, and He's also going to use some not-so-great situations to allow you to grow. And I think even for me, I just have to surrender to whatever God decides to choose, and knowing that He still loves and cares about me even through those trials. And just seeing that He wants to build me up spiritually no matter what the trial or the situation is, and I have to just keep going until I see that end result, and that God is going to help me through that. And ultimately, I want to grow, and I desire to do that, but it takes perseverance to get to that maturity and completeness that God wants me to have. Amen? Mm-hmm. And I think another thing alongside of perseverance is a lack of persistence. And this one, this one convicts me a lot. But in Psalm 119, chapter 16, it says, I delight in your decrees, I will not neglect your word. And I think the Bible is such a great tool, and obviously something that we should use in order to help us to grow. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about how the Bible is used for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. So it's a great tool, but if we're not using it and being persistent in using it, we're not going to really see the growth that we want to see. We're going to see stunted growth. And I think sometimes, I know in my character, I am easily. I mean, maybe I don't shout that out to the world, but I think it's something that I don't know. It's like, okay, I want to grow, and I that's the goal, but I don't always want to put the effort in to do that and the work to do that. Maybe it's the same way for you. Like, for example, I wanted to, it's not a spiritual goal, but I wanted to play the guitar. So I bought the laughing because he knows that he sees my guitar sitting there doing nothing. But I bought the guitar, I was excited, I had the app and everything. I had like Ashton and another brother trying to teach me little like tricks and things like that. And it was great for a while. And then time after time, not practicing every day to the point that it just sits in my corner and other people play the guitar in my house. But I wasn't very persistent in that, and I see that a lot in my character, where I just have a hard time finishing things. I think it's, I like the idea of doing things, different hobbies, different things, but I don't finish what I start. And no wonder I don't see that growth. Maybe it's the same way for you guys. I know that's a big thing for me. But I always go back to the scriptures. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. It says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. So obviously he's talking about money, but I think it can also apply to our growth, that when we're diligent and we give constant effort to the things that we want to grow in, you're going to see a result from those things. But if I'm lazy, you're not going to see much growth. Maybe a little, but you're just being half-hearted about it, you know? You can even write down Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27, and Proverbs chapter 26, verse 15. And they all have ideally the same kind of message. But I think being diligent is what's needed when we have a lack of persistence in going after our goals. And another thing that I think about is, even when we're not persistent, there is someone persistent in getting us to give up, and that's Satan.
Yeah.
You know, Satan is constantly persistent in getting us not to grow, not to be our best for God. I even think about in Matthew chapter 4, you can write this down, verses 1 through 11, how Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert and has to fast for 40 days, you know? And I could not imagine doing that. I love good guys, I'm sorry. But this is what he needed to do, and Satan's coming at him at different angles, trying to get him to stop what he started. You know what I mean? The first one is like making the stones into bread, you know, breaking his fast in different areas that Satan does not want me to grow. He will not give up until he sees that happen. And I think even for myself, I just can't be naive about it. Yes, God wants me to grow, but I do have an enemy, you know, and he does not want me to see me be my best for God. And he wants me to be lazy. He wants me to compromise. And I think sometimes I forget that, you know, when I'm lazy, Satan is winning because I'm not being productive. I'm not doing my best for God. But I think the goal is this, you know, obviously to be our best for God, but I love this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. And it says, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And I think whatever it is that you want to grow in, you just want to be diligent in what you're doing. Give it constant effort, you know, something that you want to do. And give yourself wholly to it, not being half-hearted. We learned that in the studies about, you know, seeking God. You know, can you seek God if you're half-hearted? No, you have to seek it with your whole heart. And I think it's the same way with growth. And, you know, in the last part of the scripture, it talks about so that everyone may see your progress, which is great. But also you want to be able to see your progress and be encouraged. I think we're encouraged when we see, even if it's a little bit, that we see growth and progress, and it helps us to maintain and being persistent. But just keeping that in mind, that, like, okay, what are the things that hold me back? Is it my laziness? Is it something in my character that I don't finish when I start? And really pushing past through that so we can be able to grow.
Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. Yeah, I want to finish off the second point about things that stop us from growing. I don't know if you guys get the theme with the words with the letter P, right? So we got a lack of purity, a lack of, what did Leslie say? Lack of. Oh, you guys are taking notes. Great. All right. So lack of perseverance, and also a lack of patience. Lack of persistence. I want to talk about a lack of peers. I think a lack of peers, a lack of good spiritual friends, could hold us back from growing. Lack of peers, P-E-E-R-S. Lack of peers. Does anyone know what Proverbs 27:17 says? Proverbs 27:17. You know what it's like?
That's iron sharp as iron.
Something like that. All right, iron sharp as iron. You're right on track. Let's clap it up for her. That's great. Amen. Gotta have those memory scriptures. All right. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, a lack of peers can stop you from growing because having partners in the gospel plays such a huge role in you growing. Having people in there with you is such a huge part of growing. You know, iron sharpens iron. God uses people to speak the truth to you, to encourage you, to help you out and move you towards being more and more like Jesus. And when we don't embrace these friends, we miss out on a key component of us growing spiritually. We want to embrace these people in our lives. And we just don't need any type of friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, we need friends who are going to be Spurs, right?
Yeah.
Spurs. Does anybody watch basketball? Oh, yeah. Any basketball fans in the house, right? So, nobody. Okay, so, there's a team called the Spurs. They're cool. There's a team called the Nets. They're not so cool, even though I'm from Brooklyn, right? And I want to talk about the idea of having two types of friends. You have your Spurs, and you have your Nets, right? So if you don't know basketball, the Spurs win, the Nets lose, right? And when it comes to friends, it's kind of the same way. When you have Spurs, people who spark you, who move you forward, I'm thinking about, when I say Spurs, I'm thinking about Hebrews 10:24, which talks about us being spurred on towards love and good deeds by one another, right? So when you have people who are going to push you, and maybe it feels a little uncomfortable, but it's going to help you spiritually in the end. And then you have Nets, who you can kind of fall back and feel comfortable and chill, like a little hammock and stuff like that. You just rock it back and forth. You know, those type of friends, but those friends are not going to help you grow, really. They help you feel better about yourself. But that's like an illusion that we don't even want to be a part of. You know what I'm saying? So what type of friends do you have? Do you have friends, people who challenge you, people who tell you what you need to hear? Someone who's going to hold you accountable, someone whose life, just their example, calls you higher. You know, or do you have friends who make you feel good, tell you what you want to hear, you know, don't really think accountability is important? You know, someone who makes you feel just comfortable about where you're at. You know, I don't need Nets in my life. I don't need people who are just going to make me feel comfortable or just make me feel good about myself. I don't need those type of people in my life. I need people who are going to challenge me and call me higher. And I'm grateful for those people. You know, Rob is right there in the back of the room. He's one of those people in my life. You know, I have so much fun with Rob. We have a great time. But there's times that Rob has tough talks with me. And this is the stuff that's going to help me grow. You know, and I think about someone who's really important to me. His name is Anichi Aguayo. He used to lead the Brooklyn region. He discipled me for some time. And he's a spur. He's a spur. You know, we've had great times. We've hung out. We've had D-Time Panera Bread 9 a.m. on Thursdays for like years, really, it feels like. But there's times that he has serious talks with me. You know, one of the things I struggle with an area I'm trying to grow in is discipline and timeliness and just being on top of things and integrity and things of that nature. And I remember once meeting up with Nietzsche at his house. I was running late. And, you know, he could have just kind of let that pass by. He could have let the fact that I was running late pass by. But he had to talk to me about it. And he saw that it was a pattern with certain things. And he said, you have to be the person who's most disturbed with the weaknesses that you have in your life. You need to be disturbed. You need to be bothered most about the sin in your life, about the lack of discipline. I can't care about it more than you do. And that's the only way you're going to change. He's just telling me, like, straight up, this is never going to change about you unless you care about it the most, unless there's no one else who cares about it the same way that you do. And it was a hard conversation to have, but it was so needed. And I'm so grateful for the high expectation that he had of me and my character. And those are the type of people that we need in our life, guys. You know, think about, you know, discipling time. That time where you can get together with another disciple of Jesus. We can really spend time giving you advice and encouraging you. This is something that's very needed. It's something that we need to embrace in our life, you know. When I think about, I have this kind of phrase that I thought of, and it's, if you want to be wise, then don't be a wise guy. You know, if you want to be wise, don't be a wise guy. And I think of a wise guy as kind of like the know-it-all. Like, I know everything, I don't need anybody, and that's not going to get you anywhere as far as growing in your wisdom, as far as growing spiritually. Proverbs 15, verse 31 says, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. You know, so if we're people who accept correction, who accept advice, accept input, and really inviting these things in our lives, that's when we're going to be at home among the wise. That's when we're going to be better for it and really grow spiritually. So these are the things that, you know, all of these things can get in the way. If we don't have these friends, it can really get in the way of us growing spiritually. Amen? I want to close out with our third point, which is going to be more practical, and talk about how we can grow. So these are going to be some things that that we can kind of think about and put into practice today before we leave, or even when we get back to our respective regions, and how we can grow spiritually. Leslie's going to start us off with those practicals.
Great. So the first practical that we it sounds funny, but if you take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 through 3, this gives the idea. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow. grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I was even thinking about babies. I love babies. If you put Brooke in the room, I'm just gonna zone in and focus on babies. But babies they want one thing other than love and attention from their parents is milk. You know, so I think about it with a baby. It's like, okay, if it's crying and you give it water, it's not gonna want that. It's gonna be like, what is this? You know, if you try to give it juice, it's like, that's still not it. Like, I want milk. You know, it has a very specific craving, and I think that's how we need to be about our growth. Just being very focused and having that longing and desire to grow. Even for myself, like, I love food. And there's this place in Manhattan called Sammy's. Maybe some of you guys have been there. But I think that's probably some of the best Chinese food I've ever had, other than, you know, random Panda Express and the Chinese shop on the corner. But I love Sammy's. I especially love, if it's not their orange chicken, it's their pork fried rice. It's probably the best I've ever had. I can just eat it alone. And sometimes I will just have random cravings for that. But it's all the way in Manhattan. I live in Brooklyn. So I remember times just feeling tempted that I want this so bad that I would leave my house, go to another borough, just to get this pork fried rice because I love it so much. So that's how much I have that craving and that desire. And you just zone in and you focus on that. And you're just willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill that longing and desire. And I think even for myself, that's how I need to be about my growth. You know, if I want to grow, what am I willing to do, or what lengths am I willing to go to be at that goal in my spiritual life, you know, and to be able to grow in that area? And we could crave many things, right? Maybe for you, not in a food sense, but maybe for you it's a career that you crave, you know, that dream job that you have, or maybe it's companionship, you know, maybe it's popularity or things of the world or recognition or money or possessions. You know, it could be a variety of things. But I think we just can't crave just anything. You know, we have to crave what is going to help us to grow spiritually. You know, I think of those things as kind of like the junk food. Like, you can eat junk food, you know, but eventually it's not going to help you to grow. It's not going to give you the nourishment that you need to be able to grow and develop. Or if you give a child junk food, like, that's obviously not going to be great for them. You know, but we have to crave the right things if we want to spiritually grow. And just thinking about, you know, as much as I think about it for me, like, what are the things that I crave? Because that's the top priority in my life, and that's what I'm going after. You see it in my schedule, you see it in my time, and you see it in my quiet times, and what I'm trying to focus on and grow on, that's going to be my priority. You know, but if it's something else, you're going to see your time and your effort going to those things more than your spiritual life, you know?
Yeah.
But I think desiring it, craving whatever it is that you want to grow in, if it's growing in patience, or growing in your purity, or growing in discipline, whatever it is, just going after it and asking yourself, what are you willing to do in order to get to that goal and to that point?
Amen.
And I think another practical is just having a plan about how you're going to go about it. It's like, okay, I want to go after this goal, but how do I go about it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, Do you not know that that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. I know for me, the way that my brain works, I need a plan with whatever I need to do. I have that type A personality. I can't just like go with the flow, kind of like how he does. I'm not trying to come at you, bro, but I'm just different like that rises, but I need a specific plan, write it out, you know? But we have to go and pursue the things that we're trying to grow in. And have goals. I know for me, when I have a goal and I have direction, like, it helps me to focus on that. And not just aimlessly, like, okay, I wanna grow my patience, but I don't really have any plans or goals of how I'm gonna go about it, or any practicals of how I'm gonna go after that. And obviously our goal is the standard of the Bible. You know, so I'm always gonna look to the Bible, and that's gonna be my standard of where I want to be. One thing that really inspired me was actually something that Ashlyn did. He's reading this book about prayer, and I remember him talking about it, and he showed me in his planner, like, this whole calendar chart of what he's going to pray for every day. Like, whether it's specific people, specific ministries, things that he wants to grow in, that has, like, praise and things. And I'm looking at it like, oh my gosh, I'm so unspiritual. Like, He has this like plan out for what he wants to do. I'm like, can I take a picture of that? Because I was inspired by that. Of just like how it wasn't like, okay, this floating idea, but he actually wrote it down and he has a direct plan of what he wants to do for, you know, of going after prayer and growing in his prayer life is something that I definitely want to adapt to, and some of my girls have adapted to as well. But I think sometimes we can have goals, but I think it's also good, and Ashton kind of touched on this a little bit, but to show our goals in place to other people and let other people get their hands on it. You know, sometimes we can have these goals, but they can be really lofty, or maybe they're really general and they're not as specific as it needs to be to get to that end result of what it is that you need. But we need input. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. And this one is a very specific scripture about plans. But it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they exceed or succeed. And that's pretty straightforward. You know, that if you want to succeed in your plans, you know, don't just be like, okay, I'm going to do this and go about it. I mean, that's great. But involve other people into their plans, you know, and have the humility to let people in as well. And that's what's going to help you to succeed. And also to have accountability. I know I can have plans, but if I don't tell people, it's easy to just kind of slack and just be like, oh, I didn't do it today, okay. But when I have that accountability, I know it's something that helps me to keep going and the goals that I have for myself. And I think most importantly, even with our goals, you know, we have our goals, we have our plans, we have other people, you know, holding us accountable and advising us and helping us in our plans. But I think most importantly, just giving it to God. You know, God is the one who makes our plans succeed. You can write down Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. We don't want to, I know for me, like, I can go about things that I want to do, but I didn't pray about it. I didn't bring God into the picture of the things that I want to go in. But even the Bible, I think about John chapter 15, where it's like, if I'm not connected to the vine, like, I can do nothing. If I'm not connected to Jesus, it doesn't matter what plans and how much I write it out or anything. If I don't involve God into the picture, I'm only going to get the end result of what I can do. But God can do so much greater.
Amen.
You know, that His Spirit is in me, His Spirit is in you, and He can do amazing things through us. But it's God who's going to make it grow. You know, and we're just kind of following along lines of where He wants us to go and putting in the effort towards what He's going to already do in us. Amen?
Amen.
Cool. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you. Somebody needs to tell Leslie about Uber Eats so that she can get some of her Sammies. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to travel. You just get Uber, you know, get tea. All right. So two more practicals that we're going to go through in our third point. And this practical that I want to give you guys is prayer and fasting. That's not two practicals. That's one practical. Prayer and fasting. So I think prayer really helps us rediscover why we need to grow. It helps us decide on a plan, as Leslie was sharing. And I think that through consistent praying and fasting, we can actually sustain the growth that we have in our spiritual life. You know, if God is the one who's making us grow, then we need to be in constant communication with Him. And in Psalm 139, let's turn to Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. And you know, in this Psalm, David is praising God for how deeply and how well he knows Him. And he kind of reminds himself of that throughout the psalm, and then he gets here kind of towards the end in verse 23 to 24. So starting in verse 23, just two verses, the Bible says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, in this psalm, David is asking God to search him, to know him, to test him, to reveal his flaws to himself, maybe to even to others, and to lead him towards the right path. This is a powerful prayer to pray to God. And I don't even think it's really a prayer that we can just kind of find ourselves just praying without really thinking about it. Something that we have to understand and grasp what David is actually asking God here. He's saying, God, search me. See my heart, see my motives. My secrets are not secrets before you, God. He's asking God to test him, to put him in situations that's going to reveal his weaknesses, reveal his strengths, and to refine him. He's asking God to expose his sin clearly so that he can work on it, expose his sin to others so that they can provide help. And he's asking God to help him grow. You know, we need to be willing to give God that all access pass to our life and to put us through what we need to go through so that we can grow. We need to pray to him that way. You know, and if we do something like that, if we pray this type of prayer, this Psalm 139, 23-24 prayer, we got to prepare ourselves to be humbled.
Yeah.
Prepare ourselves to be brought low.
Yeah.
But also prepare yourself to be lifted up and exalted through that. Because that's God, with God, the way up is down, right? So when we brought low and we're brought to these really desperate moments, we're able to really rise up with God. And, you know, the fight that we really fight in our faith is one on our knees. You know, as Leslie was sharing, I've been reading this book on prayer recently, and one of the lines in the book says that if prayer becomes a part of your routine, then your life will be anything but routine. And it was such a powerful passage for me to just see if I'm going to be consistent in my prayer, then my life is just going to radically change, and amazing things are going to happen. My life is going to be anything but routine. You know, amazing things happen when we fast as well,
yeah.
Right? In Mark 9, verse 28 to 29, there's a story where Jesus' disciples are trying to drive out this demon, and really, they couldn't do it. And they come along, and the Bible says, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. This is Mark 9, verse 28 to 29. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting." You know, when you're stuck, when it seems impossible, when it seems like nothing is working, fast and pray.
Yeah.
Fast and pray, and God is going to do amazing things. I like to call this taking it to a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, fasting and praying is such a powerful thing. It's us bringing God in. It's us begging God. It's us showing God how serious we are about what we're asking him for. I fasted for my character. I fasted for certain sins in my life that I'm trying to repent of. I fasted for goals that I've had. I fasted for other people in their life with God. Fasted for other people to become disciples. And I remember specifically fasting in 2013, and that just being one of the more powerful experiences I had with fasting. So I really felt convicted about just my lack of faith about my family really growing spiritually. None of my family members are disciples right now. So I was, and at that time, that was the case, and I was praying about it. And I just felt like, man, I'm not doing enough. So I decided I was going to fast every Monday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the next 6 months. And I wrote down exactly what I was fasting for. I was fasting for my sister to study the Bible. I was fasting for my mom to come out to church twice and for my dad to come out to church once. Very specific goals. That's the things I was like, all right, I'm a little bit more faithful with my mom than my dad. So mom two times, my dad once. And I was praying about these things and fasting. And this is what happened. In the first month, right, in January, my mom came out to church twice in the first month.
Wow.
Right? God provided an opportunity where I was like speaking in church. She's like, oh, I want to come and see. And then she just kept coming. She ended up coming three times over the course of the 6 months. My sister studied the Bible and got baptized in that 6 months.
Whoa.
And then my dad came out to a Father's Day barbecue. And all this happened before the 6 months was over.
Wow.
So I was just like, what's going on? I was blown away, and I was fasting. A few other sisters were doing the same thing. And but I got to be honest with you guys. I didn't keep that up. That was like I set the six-month goal, and then I got it, and I was happy, and I was satisfied, and then I just kind of chilled and got back to like a place of coasting. And that's kind of what Leslie was sharing about consistency. You know, maybe I wasn't going to fast every Monday for the rest of my life, but did I have that same heart to pray and fast and all of these different things? And now I find myself in a place again, like 4 years later, and I'm just like, man, I got to like kind of charge myself up to really help my family, to be in there and to encourage them. And I'm inspired by the way God has worked through the past and me fasting. So, you know, guys, don't get complacent. Don't ever get complacent. God is wanting to do more than we ask or imagine. Let's never stop praying and fasting, because I really feel like he's just excited for more and more. I think at that point, God is like, all right, let's go. What else do you want me to do, Ashton? You know, but I kind of slowed down and got complacent. So we need to continue to pray, continue to fast, and let God make us more and more like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
My last practical is just do. Just do it. When it comes to personal growth, just do it. I'm thinking a little Nike. I'm thinking a little Shia LaBeouf. Do it. Like, I'm thinking everything. Just do it. You know, now John 5, verse 5 to 9, John 5, verses 5 to 9, you guys can start turning there. There's this man who's just laying there, paralyzed, an invalid for 38 years. He's in the same place, stuck. And Jesus comes up to him. It says when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. You know, this man was stuck for so long that when Jesus presented him an opportunity to be healed, he started making excuses. Like someone is saying, "Hey, do you want to get well?" And he's just like, "You know what? See, what happened was the water and then the stirring and then nobody's there to help me." Like he's, all of these excuses are coming out here. And I think some of us are stuck spiritually. And this is something I had to come to on my own. Sometimes we're stuck spiritually because we're just not moving. It's all us. It's all us. It's all like, you're just not doing anything. You're stuck because you're not moving. You're not doing anything. And I think Jesus will sometimes just say, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And it was only through that man getting up and picking up his mat and walking that he just saw the power of God really change something in his life. He realized, "Wow, I'm cured. This is an opportunity. I can go. I can grow." You know, sometimes we just need to get out there. Maybe our heart isn't completely in it all the way, and we're feeling like, "I don't know if I'm ready," but just go ahead and do it. Just put yourself out there. Get outward focus. You may feel inadequate, anything. But if you've got the Spirit of the living God inside of you, you can make something amazing happen. God is making something amazing happen in you right now. We need to be moving forward because we know that God has truly set us free already. We've been set free from sin. So we can move forward. You know, I was doing research on this whole idea of being stuck. And I don't know if you guys ever been to the circus and you see kind of these elephants who are trained and all these different things, or you've even seen it on TV. But when people train elephants from a very young age, they actually chain them by the leg and put a peg in the ground. And what happens is the elephant kind of spends the early part of its life trying to pull itself loose, and then it just stops trying because it realizes that's never going to happen. But what happens is, you see the baby elephant, you see the big elephant. By the time the elephant is grown, it is actually able to pull itself free. But because of all its experiences growing up, it's tamed for life. It would never try again. Because it's like, "Oh, I've just been stuck for so long, I can never move it." Like, a human could come and pull the peg out of the ground, but the elephant won't try because it just has this experience of being stuck in the same place for so long. And this is kind of maybe an inhumane thing to think about, but I think what's even more sad is that that's what happens to us.
Yeah.
As people, that mentally we're just trapped. We're just thinking, "I've been in the same place so long, I can never get out of this space. I can never grow." We don't grow because we just think we can't. We just don't think we can. And I think Satan tries to do that to us. He tries to discourage us. He tries to put us down. I'm a guilty soul, and I have experience with that. But I have to listen to the words of Jesus. Just get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You're already healed. You're already set free from sin. You can move forward. You can move on. We just got to go. You know, I think of another funny story. This is embarrassing. Try not to judge me after you hear this. But I can't swim, right? And I never knew how to swim, right? There you go. Okay, this ain't the end of the story, though. So I'm at a water park, and there's, like, you know, the big slides with the tube that you're on and everything like that. And I get to the end of it, and usually those pools are a decent, you know, you don't have to be able to swim to be in those pools. So I get there, I'm there, my dad is at the front, he's clapping. I'm like 12, 13. But the thing is, when I was 12 or 13, I was about the same as I am now. I wasn't much shorter. So I was a big kid coming down and everything like that. Probably I was big. I was like 190, 200 pounds. I was a big kid. So I come down and I'm trying to get off my little floaty thing, right? So I'm trying to kind of squeeze myself, kick myself off. And when so I try to kick myself off, but I'm a big dude. And I kind of get stuck, right? So my backside is stuck in the tube. But the tube is not right side up anymore, it's upside down. So now I'm underneath it, and I'm stuck, kind of, right? So I'm trying, I finally kick myself out, but now I'm like so disoriented that I'm flailing around in the water, and my dad is just like done with me, like walking away, this is not my son, kind of thing. And I'm flailing around, and he's like, just stand straight. And I'm like, no, I'm drowning, help me, you know, like all this stuff. And I, I don't know how I got up, but I finally got up, and like the water's like right here. The water's right here, so the whole time I feel like I'm drowning. I'm drowning, I'm flailing around in one place, but all I had to do was just stand up straight. Just stand up straight, and I was good, and my dad, you know, he learned to accept me again, and I have a place at home, my room is still available, I'm still here. But I think it could be like that with us spiritually, guys. We hit the panic button, we don't know what's going on, we're kind of saying, we're just in the same spot, and God's just like, just do this, this one thing. The solution is right before you. You read it in your quiet time yesterday. It was all you had to do, but you're just still like, oh no, something's wrong, blah, blah. Just focus on what you gotta do. Just do it. Yeah. Just do it and we can grow. You know, it's time for us to stop making excuses, guys.
Yeah.
You know, if we wanna grow, we need to make decisions and we need to act today. If you felt compelled by any of the lessons that you heard, don't say, oh, I'm gonna do it when I get back to Queens, or I'm gonna do it when I get back to Brooklyn. Do it today. You got a long dinner break? Have some conversations today. You haven't been reading the Bible. Say, okay, this is the last day that's going to happen. I'm going to crack it open. I'm going to be consistent from this day forward. Just make the decision while you're here. Yeah. There's no reason to make excuses. It has to end now.
Yeah.
You know, I think a passage that really has just challenged me this just at the beginning of this year, I want to share it with you guys to close out, is in John 15. And Leslie read like a different part of it earlier, but John 15, verse 4 to 5. I want to close out with this passage. It says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is Jesus speaking here. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, we need to remain and stay in Jesus. You know, I really encourage you guys to look back on these notes, think about ways that you can grow, think about things you can put into practice, but to make it simple, remain in Jesus.
Yeah.
And he will supply everything you need for you to grow. Remain in the vine. So remember to remember why you should be seeking to grow. You know, identify the things that stop you from growing, anything that's getting in the way, whether it's lack of purity, perseverance, persistence, any of those things. And put into practice all you can do to follow Christ. So today is your before picture. What is going to be your after? Is your after going to look more like Jesus? Let's commit to personal growth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys.